D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
There it is. There it is. Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live here at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, as usual, Heath Elson-Son to my right.
Howdy.
To my left, Tomas Mauricio.
Playing hurt.
I'm Dave Romero. I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to discuss. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do ESPN 97.7 BS and Beer style.
Woo-hoo.
Boys, I tell you what. I don't know. Okay. A lot of disappointment going on.
Yeah.
It was maybe I have to reset
Hope
my expectations.
The hell in a moment.
Absolutely. It just my expectations were at a certain point with the Saints. And I don't know if they were realistic. After a game, I'm really not mad or upset. I kind of think that maybe it just kind of you look at things from a different perspective, and maybe I expected too much.
Yeah. Ah, man. I don't know what happened, you know. So this is clearly another case of not being able to take anything you see in a preseason with any seriousness whatsoever. But I know Tomas is going to probably get to this later, but, you know, we also weren't playing with the same game plan that we played with through the entire preseason.
It was a different. They weren't doing the things that we saw in preseason. Now, was it because the Saints organization, the coaching staff, the game plan was different? Or was it because you had some young guys? Listen, our defensive backfield consisted of two rookies, a guy who was
really
undrafted.
Three, but go ahead.
What's that?
Really three, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, Devontae Harris. He didn't play last year.
Well,
he's in his second
maybe
year. So then you have
PJ Williams only got
PJ Williams
games.
Only had like
okay,
two,
so
two games.
Yeah. And depending on how you want to classify, because if you say Harris is a starter, then you know PJ Williams is a slot corner. Okay, there's another guy. The only guy with any experience was Kenny Vaccaro,
right,
who had a very bad game, especially in pass coverage.
Right.
So what are we to believe?
Well, when we get to my rant, I'll give you the two reasons why we did not play well. But I will say this overall. When you change personnel, and that personnel change that you do hasn't come under real fire yet, because preseason games aren't real fire. That's right. They're not real fire. The team that came out from Minnesota came out ready to win a game. It's the season now. The season has 16 games. We have to win 12, 13, 14. We have to win as many as we can. So we put together a game plan, and we put together the best personnel we can, and we hope that they come together. Now, for the Saints, I believe that they didn't look in the mirror. I believe they believed a lot of the hype that was out there. And, you know, I'm a homer. I'm the first guy to admit to you. You know, I picked them to go 10, 11, maybe even 12 wins. But the truth of the matter is, when you look at what they did, and I'll cover some more of it when I talk about my rant. When you look at what they did, you have 53 players. You have 46 active. But of those 46 you have active, they haven't played any of the schemes that they played in this last game. You think about that. You know, because that fellow who I like sometimes, and sometimes I just want to shoot my TV, old Chucky, when he starts talking, well, look at this. They have an 11, then they have a 12, then they go to a 21, then they go. Now, most people have no clue what he's talking
about. No, the average person does not know all those things. And, you know, it's interesting as a football guy to listen to him, but sometimes I think I've heard people say this. The Monday night thing is kind of they need an announcer, the guy that just kind of explains it to the common man, so he takes a lot away. But I tell you what, today's show We have John Hendricks from the Canal Street Chronicles is going to come on, give us his thoughts on the game. We also have our weekly NFC South review with Brian Bieniemy of ESPN 100.3 in New Orleans. He does an excellent job. He's going to go over the things going on in the NFC South with Atlanta, who should have lost to Chicago, and yeah. Then Carolina. Right. Carolina ended up winning pretty big, but boy, I tell you what, they tried to give. I mean, Cam Newton was throwing the ball all over the park,
yeah,
and not in a good way.
Who he was throwing to.
Yeah. So and then
that shoulder's all healed though. Don't worry about it.
That's what. And every time he overthrow a ball, you know, he'd do that. Oh, my shoulder thing.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
right.
Anyway, and any, I tell you what.
Touch,
how about
what touch? Oh, go ahead.
Let's get this show started. Right.
Go ahead, Brian.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, it's Dave, Heath, and Tomas. It's the BS and Beer crew. Listen. If you haven't joined the Pick'em League yet.
What the hell are you waiting for?
That's what I'm saying. What are you waiting? It's $160 of free money.
Heath, we,
out there.
Do we have a fake name in there for the
I know.
Money?
Yeah. The employees are not eligible to win. Heath and Tomas, I can tell
can
by
we get
your IP
free,
address.
A free plate of red beans and rice from it?
You know, we'll find something for you. But listen, if you want to join the Pick'em League.
Well, how you do that?
You go to Yahoo. It's the Yahoo Pick'em League.
Yep.
And the league ID number is 30242. And the password, get it? Believe it or not, it's creative. It's BS and beer. That's the word spelled out. BS and
all
then B-E-E-R. All lowercase. Come join the league. It's fun. You know, we have some free money to give away. And listen, let's go
free
over.
Free money?
Yeah, free money, man.
Man, I'm in the wrong place. Free money?
Let's go over this past week's results.
All right, let's
we
do
have
it.
Like, we usually go over the top 10 or so, but right now there's so many ties because we're just getting started. But the guys with 9, Rob 22278, Javelin, another 7-9. Some of these names, pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I know the next guy's going to be, we're not going to hear the end of it. BS and Beer Tomas. I wonder who that
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Is. All right, yeah, don't you pipe down over there, pipe down. Then you have Hoot is 47. Heath, you usually help me out with all these names, man.
I'm sorry, I wasn't looking at it.
And the next guy, it sounds like he knows what he's doing. That's Dave, BS and B. That's me.
Calm down, brother.
I'm not getting too excited because last year, I think I finished like, there were like 60-something people in the league. I think I finished 73, if I remember correctly. So
you were like the Saints defense.
Yeah, and I kept
32,
waiting.
But if they were 40, you'd be 40.
I was trying to lure everyone into a false sense of security, and I did. I never made that push at the end.
You.
You know, I lured them into the sense of security, but yeah. I never provided the
I
false.
Hear you.
Then we got Orion. Then we got our buddy, the Year of the Lion.
Oh,
O'Gary's up there with 7. Brooks, Rick Saint, SD, Carolina Saint, Clinton Rebel, DA Mailman.
The Mailman.
See? All right.
Or maybe it's Dennis Allen.
Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen brings it up.
Use that one. Use that one instead.
I don't want no trouble out of you guys. All right. Then we got Who Dat, To Dat, 2017. And I'm going to go this far. One more person with 7. Saint from M.E.
What's M.E., Dave?
Probably Maine.
Hey,
yeah, man.
Right.
Look at me.
Very
hey,
good.
I got some book learning in me. Heath, I'm just going to bring you up there with 6, but there's a whole bunch of people out there with 6. So, listen, we have a lot of fun with it.
It was the first game.
Yeah, it was the first game. I mean,
first week.
And listen, here's the thing. Oh, by the way, Lil Dice is in 36th place. He's the guy who got paid last year. Listen.
Better step it up, brother.
If you enter now, there are 2 weeks where it takes out your low score.
Right.
So it obviously be 0 for the first week. You can still join and win. It doesn't hurt you. So make sure you go out there. It's Yahoo League. It's 30242. The password, BS and Beer. So join it.
All right.
Anyway,
we're back.
So we got to hit our first break.
Yes, sir.
But when we come back, we're going to have the good, the bad, the ugly, and we have some hotline calls.
Hotline calls.
All right.
We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I love this song.
It's September. Didn't start off quite the way we'd hoped it would start.
Even though I'm playing her, I'm still dancing. That was a band, brother. Earth, Wind,
and that was good stuff. Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio.
Saw them live
the
in
man,
City Park, but go ahead.
The myth, the legend.
That's me.
A little bit later, we're going to get a little Tomat rant.
You know, I can't wait.
You gotta,
even though I feel bad, I'm gonna rant.
He's
on
under the weather, so that might only add to the rant.
Yeah. That's right.
But this is the part of the show
where
we do the good, the bad, and ugly. Now, here's the thing. Last week, we decided that we were going to do, instead of the good, the bad, and the ugly, we were going to do the good and the bad and ugly. I think that this week we almost have to go back to the old format and just make it the good, the bad, and the ugly.
I think we can skip right over to good and just go to the bad.
Yeah, well, we can't do that.
I have a little good.
No, listen.
There was a couple of glimmers of light there.
And there's some other things going on, too. So, when I'm done, I don't think it's all doom and gloom. I do believe we might have to readjust our expectations. But there's some good stuff going on we can discuss.
Right.
There's also a bunch of bad stuff. Okay, all right. Let's get to it.
Please hide all the sharp objects.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
I don't remember her in that movie. I don't.
Where was either.
That actually, never mind. I'm not even going to get to it. So where do we start, Tomas? Do we go with the good first? We're going
to
go with good?
Yeah, it'll be short.
So the whole rest of the segment we have to talk about.
Let's get it over with in a few seconds.
Like a Band-Aid. Rip it right off.
That's it.
All right. So, okay, the good.
Yeah.
I want to go. Let's start on offense. Kay. The good.
Okay, go ahead.
And you want me to start?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
go ahead.
Well, hold up. I have to go back and look through my notes and see where I can.
I got one.
All right, go ahead.
I have some. I'm just joking.
Fleener.
That's Heath's guy. Heath's guy, Fleener, actually had a good game, caught everything thrown to him. At the end of the game, garbage time, but he was very well covered.
Nice touchdown grab.
Stretched out, used his length, caught a touchdown. So you got to. And then he had a couple other plays where I liked one play. You know, I'm always picking on guys if they don't show enough aggression. He caught a ball inside the five, turned around, put his shoulder down, and tried to run a guy over. Now, he got ended up getting tackles. He's not the most powerful guy, but he did. He showed something. And now, here's the thing. If you don't follow the show, if you're one of our new listeners over in northern Louisiana on ESPN 97.7, you may not know all the internal battles that are going. But listen, we've been doing this show now for about 2 years, so this is nothing new. We know each other. Tomas, not a big Fleener fan, so of course Heath had to text Tomas and give him a hard time about it. So
I'm lying on the couch there, and there come the Texans. Fleener!
My phone. Desk vibrating.
I was like, man.
All right.
And I'm not even really a Fleener guy. I'm just not a Fleener hater.
Yeah, and you know, so you got to sometimes
for some reason I feel compelled to defend the poor guy.
Yeah, no, and you know what? Listen, I feel like sometimes we go overboard with giving people a hard time. We expect so much from them because the tight end, just about every tight end that's come through the place, has done well. But not all of them done well in their first year.
Right.
And if you take that into consideration, this is Fleener's second year. He's more comfortable in the offense. I think a lot of people thought because we didn't see much of Fleener in the preseason that the Saints were just writing him off. But we didn't see a lot of Ingram. We didn't see a lot of Peterson. We didn't see a lot of Breeze.
No.
The Saints have big plans for
him.
Which,
by the way, was another contributing factor to what happened yesterday.
I completely agree. So, you take responsibility for the Fleener.
Okay.
Okay, so another good Tomas, offensively.
All right, I'm going to tell you, the only bright star for me on the offense. You ready? Max Unger. That's it. On the very first play where everybody's talking about, Peterson made 9 yards. Did you notice that at yard marker number 4, Max Unger got right behind him and pushed his happy behind forward another 5 yards?
Max Unger, he's known to
do that.
He's known for that.
Remember, we said
if he's not pushing, he's pulling him across the goal line.
That's right. And I thought about what we had said last year. I'm going to try to keep a sheet of how many yards Max Unger makes. Okay, because he's going to end up being our leading running back for yards gained after contact. You know, I talk about yards after contact. Yak. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Max Unger is the king of yak.
Oh, yak. Max Unger. But, I like that. New category for centers, yak.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I truthfully, I mean, his snaps were on target.
Right. Which, hey, that's not a small feat after. Isn't it funny that some things are huge problems in preseason and they just magically go away?
Well, he only played in one game at the very end. Let's be realistic here now. You know, I don't think he's still 100%.
He's might knocking be, the dust off him.
Yeah, I think he might be in the 90s. Okay, he's still not 100%. But from what I saw in the game, I saw good control of the ball no matter what position Breeze was in. And I saw good blocking. He took care of his man, whether it was the three or the one guy. He took care of him. He wasn't coming up the middle. So I felt pretty good. Stunts, he picked him up. I didn't see anything negative. If I had to grade out the offensive line, he was the guy with the edge.
Right. And that's what you would expect from him.
So that was the only bright star on offense.
All right. I agree with both you guys. So I'm going to bring up and maybe just combine them because I don't think they were amazing, but I think they did their job. And Michael Thomas caught everything thrown to him. My complaint is, can he just get down sometimes? You're not going to drag three guys. You're just looking to get hurt or fumble the ball. But he catches everything. He plays tough.
Yeah.
He's the type of football player, and I know I'm not the only one, so it's not like I'm finding some diamond in the rough here. But he plays football the way I think it should be played, and I love the guy. The other one, Tommy Lee, comes up with a big play.
Yeah.
Catches the ball, and that in the preseason and in the past is where he's struggled. Is catching the long ball,
right?
Because you know it's kind of like being a center fielder sometimes. And people, if you either A, never played football, or B, aren't a fast football player, like maybe you played offensive line or something, you have no idea what it's like with that helmet on, and you're running 4-3, and the ball's coming, and you're running, and it's bouncing, and the ball's going to the left, and the ball's going to the right, and you're sticking your hands out there, and you're running, and all of a sudden a defensive back is grabbing you. And, it's not as easy as they make it look.
Yeah, right.
And so he caught that ball, and I was proud of him because he's a guy that we kind of needed to step up, and he did, although, on that one play, it, obviously not enough. So I think
all right, let's start good then.
Okay.
How about defense?
On defense. Move over to defense, and we're going to see. There was some good out there.
Oh, go ahead. No, I have some a good.
Okay, right. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, Tomas, give us a good on the defensive side.
Anzalone.
Yeah. Anzalone.
I would say in watching him play again and watching the game again before I came to do the show, he was in the right place at the right time. I didn't see him flub up at all. I saw him covering when he was playing the short zone. He was playing the short zone. When he had contain, he contained. I feel that the three starting rookies on defense actually played pretty well.
Yeah.
In spite of the crappy scheme and calls, but I really felt Anzalone, Lattimore, and Williams all played. I give them B's. I thought they really played a good level of playing. It's still rookies. You know, a couple little things here and there. Depth sometimes was wrong. Angle was sometimes wrong. But overall, they played better than the veterans, in my opinion. But I thought Anzalone really stood out. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind why he's a starting linebacker. No doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Even if there were some mistakes made, I think that the kid showed speed. He was explosive. And he's going to make up for some mistakes. By making plays,
athleticism.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those things didn't happen. Heath.
Well, that's what I would have said if I was going to pinpoint it down. But so I'll just expand that out and say, really, all of the linebackers I thought played pretty well.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe not Robertson so much. He had a couple of mistakes there in his.
All the starting.
But McLean, Teo, and Anzalone, I thought all played pretty well.
Yeah.
There was more than one of them at the point of attack, more than once. Some gain tackling.
Right.
Klein made some really nice
athletic
plays.
Overall, the run defense until later in the game.
Later in the game,
very
was good.
Solid.
Yeah,
I mean, we gave up one explosive play, two similar runs around the right end.
Yeah.
One of them, Klein caught late in the game.
Yeah. Cooks.
Yeah, Cooks. It was Robertson that took the bad angle.
Yeah. Right.
Cooks got the corner,
but
then Klein
generally speaking, they played very aggressive, fast. Run defense,
right?
Not an issue. A matter of fact, if they're not on the field as much, maybe. My point is that there were some good things, and run defense was one of them.
Right, but then and so in the passing game, there was some boo boos, but I wouldn't really put that on them. I mean, you got Manti Te'o trying to follow a running back 35 yards down the field or whatever. Not gonna happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay, so we're going into schematic things. Yeah. Like, we played so much cover two. Now, I think we're going to break down more schematic things and schemes a little later in the show. I'm kind of directing myself and not to go. I just want to get into the scheme stuff, but we're just talking good, bad, and ugly now.
So, so that's it. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
What's yours?
You.
Well, here's the thing. I want to say Cam Jordan. He's by far the best defensive player we have. Having said that, it's like Drew Brees. You kind of expect it from him. So, I mean, he had three plays where he lined up kind of like a strong side linebacker. I think they did it. It was something that the coaches saw. Yeah. They had him chuck the tight end, Rudolph, who's a very good receiver. And then you would think that maybe chuck him and then rush the passer. He dropped back in the pass. Yeah. He had an almost interception, and he had a pass defense.
Yeah. That was a hell of a hit by Klein on him, too. But anyway.
I know, right. Klein laid him out. But at the end of the other guy, that this is something, unless you really dug in deep, David Onyemata. And I'm not just trying to make my story.
No, I think you're just
David
trying.
David Onyemata played very well. He actually didn't have a ton of snaps. Now, I don't have the exact snap counts. But I saw him on running plays, throwing guys. He was, I don't want to go overboard and say unblockable, but he was almost unblockable. He got in there on three different run plays and threw his man out, stood him up, extended his arms, got the man out the way and made a tackle, and I was very impressed. Now, I didn't see much in the way of pass rush, but I was impressed with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay. So that covers offensive and defensive good.
Hold on. Let's do special teams. Because
oh, yeah, absolutely.
That may be one. Where some of the best good actually came
absolutely.
From.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So go ahead, Tomas. Who you got?
We have the absolute ultimate weapon in the NFL. Morstead.
Legatron.
That guy's a...
Hold on.
I'm a beast, Your Honor. Okay? I'm a beast. That's what I do. Okay? She knew this when she met me. Now all of a sudden she got a problem with it.
Hey, I don't have a problem with it at all. He's a beast, man.
Oh, my gosh. And he was talking about... I saw he was interviewing that there's some guy who's now keeping the records this year of punts, of time in the air, distance, everything. And he said, man, I got to be on my best. Dude, he was on his best.
Yeah.
That guy, I mean, hang time, distance.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
The spin on it, because a lot of those guys were looking at the ball, and a couple of them that they were like, oops, almost, So, to me, special teams.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the only thing else would be, okay, I did see Banjo flash a couple of times. Yeah. I saw the running back.
Edmonds.
Yeah. Both of them, and maybe showing that they earned that spot.
Have one more, though, if you need another.
Throw it in there.
Go ahead, brother. Let's see if he picks my other one.
Oh, go ahead.
My other one?
I got two, so take whatever you want.
My other one is the kicker on my fantasy football team who made all those points for me.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I can appreciate that we were in the red zone five times and didn't score but once. A touchdown once, but we scored every time.
Yeah.
Our boy, Lutz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pro bowler right there, buddy.
I don't know if maybe I didn't get around to actually saying it, but that's what I said, the kicking game. And so, every one of them just looked automatic, confident, boom, kick.
And then just one more, I got it ties into the same thing. Just a shout out to Wood, I think his name, the new
Zach
long
Wood.
Snapper.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
On the money.
Perfect. And this guy comes in right before the game.
Don't generally focus on the snap. Like, I might just be casually waiting for the kicker to kick it. But I would have to imagine I'm not the only one. Everybody in Saints Nation is like focused on the dude bent over his hand on the ball.
It's been one of the biggest stories throughout training camp. Yeah, the carousel at long snapper. I mean,
waiting for it, kind of holding your breath, and to see. And I mean, it's just on the money. I mean, matter of fact, did you see any of those videos that on YouTube? Kind of boring, but I mean, the dude's like snapping camps. I mean, that's all he does. That's what he does. He's like the Terminator. It's what he does. Yeah. It's all he does, so he's excellent. All right, so we got the good Cam Jordan, Anzalone, the kicking game, offense.
We got everything covered there. One more thing that we can say.
Okay.
And that is the coaching. There was one coach who I thought demonstrated that he knows how to coach.
The kicker coach.
That is correct. That is correct. I think the special team coaches, Banta and O'Day.
Yeah.
I think that of all the coaches that I could see actually in the game, I can't say that too, because Nolan, I thought the linebackers, I'm going to say Nolan as well. And maybe a little bit of Aaron Glenn. But
I don't know how you can say Aaron Glenn. I mean, listen,
well,
I love those guys. They're young.
Because I thought Lattimore played up to his potential.
Okay, whether you believe this or not, he had a 150 Pro Football Focus. Not that I believe it, but Pro Football Focus had him as 150 some odd, over 150 passer rating against him. Now,
Lattimore?
I didn't see it, but he had some plays where he gave a pass. He's right there. I was like, and I remember saying, well, he was right on him. He's right there.
Yeah.
He's right there when it, you know, he made the tackle right away. But apparently, Pro Football Focus wasn't.
I would have thought impressed.
The other thing you got to remember about that, we were in zone so much.
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
That it's up to who's watching it to try to decide who was really responsible for that guy in that zone.
I will say this.
I would agree with that. I would have thought that peanut butter and jelly had more.
I will say this. I didn't see it. I don't know how he would get that. But later on the show, we're going to have the bad and the ugly.
All right.
But next segment, we got John Hendricks from the Canal Street Chronicles.
Yay!
Yeah. All right. It's a hard word. Y'all don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.7.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. All right. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. It's ESPN 97.7 here in northern Louisiana, and I have my friend John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. Now, John, I struggle with that. You guys gonna have to come up with an acronym. Are you doing the CSC thing? Is that what we're doing now?
Yeah, CSC works good, man. I think it's keep it simple, you know, to everything. So
all right,
that'll work great.
I think that's the way we're gonna have to do it. Anyway, man, coming off the loss this week, the New Orleans Saints disappointed me, and maybe my expectations were too high. But I feel like, especially on defense, I saw a lot of athleticism. I saw guys flying around, especially early. I thought they were tough against the run, but that's the positive. The negative side of it, didn't see a whole bunch of pass rush, and the young guys seemed to be out of position quite a bit. Let me hear your thoughts, brother.
Well, look, I mean, you know, I guess we should have known it was doomed from the start because, you know, very first Saints defensive play, they line up with 10 players. And, look, I had to check and then recheck, but now they only lined up 10 players to start. I don't want to say that set the tone because I think the defense played really well on the first couple of drives. I saw a lot of good things, players flying to the ball. I thought, you know, rookie Marcus Williams with that personal foul, rookie growing pains, but I didn't agree with the Alex Anzalone call. I thought that was really ticky-tacky. But I like what they had in the first couple of drives. But then you see, you know, Sean Payton kind of gamble at the end of the half. It comes back to bite him. And, look, the pass rush outside of Cam Jordan just wasn't there. They couldn't get to Sam Bradford at all against the Vikings offensive line that, you know, hadn't really played together. So that's a little disheartening. And then, obviously, Devontae Harris just got lit up like a Christmas tree. Just not a good look to start, and not what we were thinking, especially coming off of such a high preseason. And more lessons to everybody. Don't you buy into what they happened in the preseason. No,
absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's a good call. But yet we still do it, including myself. And I've been around for a long time. I tell myself I know better, but it's the homer in me that comes out because you want to believe it. The key to me defensively was simply the lack of pass rush. Cam Jordan, I know you just mentioned it. I'm restating what you've already said. Cam Jordan was the only guy who got consistent pass rush, and the irony in it, on three different points, they had him lined up kind of like a strong side linebacker and chucking the tight end. He almost got an interception out of it.
Yeah, I think that was another thing that you saw is they put somebody like Cam Jordan out in coverage. And, you know, look, I don't think that's a bad thing because if you ask Cam Jordan to do anything, he can do great things at it. I mean, that's just the type of player you get with that. But, you know, at the same time, when you can't get the pass rush, and this is where, you know, we had concerns going into this season, what this team's pass rush was going to be like without Nick Fairley in the interior. I you know, you didn't really see Sheldon Rankins do much, you know, in terms of being a pass rusher. David Onyemata couldn't get too much going. You know, Tyler Davison and then Alex Okafor maybe had a couple of good rushes. So did Haloi Kakaha. But look, when it comes down to it, you got to get after the quarterback. And when you give Sam Bradford that much time to throw, man, he looked like Joe Montana yesterday. I mean, it was Monday. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing that I think some folks lose sight of. Sam Bradford went to the Vikings very late in the process last year, and it could have been why, because they were ranked in the bottom quarter of the league last year, somewhere 28th, if I remember correctly. But it's not because he's a bad player. It just took a while. You can't go from one system right to another and expect a player to excel in the NFL. I'm starting to see things out of them, and I do have to question, is it the Saints? Is it their defense? And it has to be part of it. But, man, the Vikings, they just look too sharp, because they were just times pinpoint accuracy. Having said that, like, I just don't know where to stand, John. I want to believe the Saints are better than what I saw yesterday, so I'm trying to give the Vikings some credit. But then there's things that they did very well, you know, but things that the Saints didn't do very well. For instance, reviewing the film this week, Kenny Vaccaro, they had him playing halves in the game quite a bit, and he gave up two touchdowns. Now, one of them, I end up getting a debate on Twitter, and it's arguable. Like, was it him or was it Harris? But at the end of the day, it was in the end zone. He had that half of the back. He got caught looking in the backfield, touchdown.
Yeah, it's interesting because you didn't really see much of the three safety set that we probably were thinking would happen. I mean, Von Bell only logged six snaps out of it. You know, you don't see Raphael Bush out there. So it was Kenny Vaccaro and Marcus Williams, so for sure. And look, whether it was a communication breakdown or something, I guess, you know, at this point it's irrelevant because you got to move on and move past it. You know, Vaccaro being the boisterous leader he is, he had all the DBs in for a Monday morning session. And, look, I think that's the right move. You got to do that. But, you know, at the same time, we're harping on the defense. The offense doesn't get a pass in this because they were so inefficient in the red zone. They couldn't move the ball. I thought a lot of vanilla, predictable play calling in the process. And look, I think if you look down across this roster, it was a joint effort for this loss, for sure.
Absolutely. So then why don't we do that? Let's move over to the offense, because you pointed it out, and probably the biggest issue, and could, and always is, if you look at the big picture, once the Vikings had a big lead, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities to rush the passer. So maybe the Saints would have been a little bit better at rushing the passer had they not fallen behind so quickly. And this goes right to the issues in the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing is, a Saints team going 0-for-4 in four red zone trips is just unheard of. I mean, you think about if they would have at least converted half of that, how much different that game, how that would have changed the game complexity there. And, you know, it's just uncharacteristic running the ball on some of the situations when they could have really at least thrown a fade to Michael Thomas or Brandon Coleman or found something other than what we saw in the play calls. And you know, they eventually got a touchdown out of it late from Kobe Fleener, who I thought had a really good game. But, you know, the offensive line, they couldn't really hold the pressure that came to them as well. You know, just a lot of things on both sides of the ball that you didn't see were very characteristic of this team, particularly on offense. I think, you know, how they split up the running backs getting behind. They had to go with Alvin Kamara a lot more, which means Ingram didn't get too much. But outside of that first drive and towards the end, it was really a lethargic offense.
Well, you have to question, and I know it's a debatable thing, but Streif is a guy that he's polarizing. Some people think that he needs to go. Some people think he's great. You get the PFF that grades him highly. I not that I don't agree, but it's one of those things. He's not very athletic. You could see he's but he just gets the job done. And when he left the game, I think that was a huge impact on the Saints offense.
Oh, no doubt. No question. I mean, because the thing is, you already cut Bryce Harris to make room for Adam Big Hill. So, and you needed somebody on special teams because obviously you didn't have Stephon Anthony or Nathan Stupar. And lo and behold, look what happened. Your right tackle, the one player you don't want to get hurt at one particular position, gets hurt, out the game. Senior Kelemete, I thought he did a pretty good job being that he was thrown in there. But he's more of a right guard, I mean, a guard and center presence. I mean, they used him in jumbo sets as an offensive tackle, a sixth offensive tackle. So it's not like he's totally, you know, plain Jane when it comes down to it. But at the same time, that was a huge loss. They couldn't do as much as what they wanted to, especially in the run game with him and Warford on that side. But, man, look, and he's going to be out for a few weeks. Real tough loss, and especially with the offensive line that has already been hobbled with, you know, injuries to Armstead and Unger. But, you know, Unger's back, obviously. But they can't catch a break, and this is what this team needs to do something this year is catch a break.
Absolutely. I'm talking to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. Listen, John, next week it doesn't get any easier, okay? We have the New England Patriots fresh off of a humiliating – that's more of a Super Bowl thing that Atlanta would – we talk about Atlanta. But they come off of maybe an embarrassing loss at home to the Kansas City Chiefs last week with a long period. They had – what would that be, about 10 days since they played on Thursday night?
Yep.
What's your outlook for that game where the Saints – both teams are going to need a win?
Yeah, look, I agree. I mean, the thing is, and this is what I would tell you, if you're at this game, you gotta show up as the 12th man because this team needs their fans to rally behind them. I know the first loss is disappointing. You got a huge game ahead of you, and look, this team can't afford to start 0-2 because you got Carolina right after them, so right. It's not like it's going to get any easier for the Saints. But I think they can use some of the things that they saw against Kansas City to help their offense out, maybe even their defense too. But when you go boils down to it, this team has to win in week two. I know it's early in the season. I know it's the Patriots. If there's ever a chance to make it a believer of fans and of this team, it's in week two against New England. I think they can pull it off if they can get some good things going. Starting right off on starting strong on the right foot is imperative for this team.
Yeah, listen, this may sound silly, but there are things that the Saints do well, and I'm saying that I got to maybe reevaluate now that I think that you're not going to have Streif, but the Saints can run the ball, and they have the running backs, and that's one of the things that New England struggled with against Kansas City. And with the injuries, not only the New England lost their middle linebacker and they lost two of their best receivers, they're vulnerable right now. So I think the opportunity's there. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I do not look at New England as the team they were last year. We have about a minute. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, look, I the Patriots are going to be a strong team, but I don't feel that they have nearly the personnel that they had from a year ago on that Super Bowl team. Yeah, it's still Tom Brady. It's still Bill Belichick. It's still a lot of the familiar faces that are around there. But look, when it boils down to it, at some point, you know, you can have the best assembled roster or you can have your all-star pro dream, whatever. If they don't have the game plan down, if they don't have the adjustments made, it doesn't matter who you throw out there, that's still going to fall. And that's what we saw on Thursday night against the Patriots. Andy Reid got the best of Bill Belichick, hands down.
All right, you can follow him at John J. Hendricks.
H-E-N-D-R-I-X,
okay.
Just like Jimmy. That's how I tell people.
Just like Jimmy. You can follow him, find him out there on Twitter. Hey, when we come back, it's time for a Tomas rant. You're not going to want to miss it, not after the game we just had this week. Listen, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. It's ESPN 97.7. Settle in for the long haul. We got wall-to-wall Saints to talk. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
I'm not a dog. I'm a beast, Yana. I'm a beast.
There you go.
Hey, it's the BS and Beer crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio here, ESPN 97.7. And it's the segment that, when done properly, cannot be replaced. And today is a day where it's going to happen. I can feel it. It's a Tomas rant.
Yeah.
Tomas, how you feeling today?
I'm a little under weather, but man, I am ready.
All right, let's see.
Did I spike it enough for you?
Yeah, no, you did. You got it. It's all distorted now.
All right,
and I kind of feel like we're not he's up here.
Yeah.
We're down here.
Hey, what's wrong with you people?
Kind of like, and that's how it should be for a Tomas rant.
That's right.
Kind of like now, man, watching football this weekend. Yeah. We have they're back to the celebrations back, baby. Yeah. They're doing a little this and they're doing a little that.
Who's doing that, brother?
All of them. All of them. They doing a shot.
Well, the ones that are scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, unlike the Saints. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't us.
Yeah,
okay.
It wasn't the Saints. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry if I misunderstood.
Like, confused him. Yeah. And Thielen, and
yeah. Yeah. No. All those guys except
and by
the Saints.
I had Thielen as well on my fantasy.
Did you start him?
Yes.
Oh wow. You didn't
because I didn't have any other wide receiver. Snead is out as one of my receivers, okay. And Doxson I wasn't going to play from Washington. And I was like,
"What did you put up? 200 points?"
Yeah, well, a lot.
Listen, I do not start players on my fantasy who are playing. Saints.
I try not to.
Yeah,
I try not to.
And
I had no choice this.
I will say this: towards the end of the season, when we, four and six,
yeah,
I tend to break some of my rules, but definitely not.
I still
not
have
the,
no players on my fantasy football teams from the NFC South. Other than Saints. That's a rule.
I don't pick Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if I should be saying that. Northern Louisiana, heard it's over here sometimes.
Well, Shreveport. We're in Ruston. Now. It's a little different.
Okay, Ruston's different. Yeah. Y'all Saints fans, I respect you for that.
That's right.
And I guess that's why they'd be listening to this show.
That's correct.
The BS and Beer Saints podcast show, man. All right, Tomas.
Yes, sir. Are you ready for my rant?
Oh, my God, it's going to blow.
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinions.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
Facts don't mean anything to me.
It's going to blow.
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
I love that. It is a mathematical certainty.
Yes, it is.
Tomas, take the floor, my friend.
All right. Now, last week I tried to stay calm because I have bad blood pressure issues, I don't want to stroke out here in front of Dave and Heath. But this week it might just happen. So get the EpiPen ready because I might just blow. It's a mathematical certainty. Here it is. Now, you can have your opinion. It doesn't matter to me because mine is the only one that matters. Here it is. When you decide to keep people active who can't play, you cause yourself a lot of problems. Who was the genius who thought through who the active 53 were going to be on this team? Well, I know. Let's go ahead and keep Armstead active. Mind you, he doesn't count against us because he's on PUP. We can bring him back and we can bring Bro back, but never mind that. Let's make him active. So now we have one less offensive lineman. And if you think I'm upset today, just wait if that SOB doesn't get back on the field after game number 5. If for game number 6, Armstead's not quite ready yet. Man, get ready for the rant on that week. Because it's ridiculous. Stephon Anthony. Dude's not ready to play. So again, you have Armstead, offensive lineman. Stupar, linebacker. Anthony, linebacker. You shoot yourself in the foot, and then you say, well, we got all these people on this team, but hell no, we need to bring in Big Hill. Now, I'm a Big Hill supporter. I was during the preseason, but his happy ass is over on developmental. Leave him there. You ask one of the other guys, hey, you know what? You're not on special teams. You're on this week. Because you needed to have Harris on this team. Kelemente is the backup center guard. He's not the backup tackle. Then you hear Peyton. Well, I thought he did okay. We were watching it, and we had decided early in the week who was going to back up who. Big, giant bull. Beep, boop. You know what I'm talking about. That's just crap. You didn't have enough people in the positions you needed, and so you said, well, we don't need Harris. Oh, really? Now, if memory serves me correctly, our right tackle, it's not the first time he's injured. Matter of fact, he's playing with a big old brace on his elbow because his elbow's banged up. And so there it was, and I saw it happen. He's in the bottom of the pile. They pile on top of him. He's got his legs crossed. Boom. There you go. All right. So who you'll put Kelemente in. Don't get me wrong. I think Kelemente is serviceable at guard and center. Tackle? No. So now you've got a young rookie who's taking the beating of his lessons at left tackle. And I think it's good. Well, I tell you the truth, I'm sorry that Breeze got hit a bunch of times, but the truth of the matter is the kid's got to learn against, and believe me, Minnesota has the best defensive ends in the NFL. There's no doubt in my mind that their three defensive ends that they rotate are the three best defensive ends we're going to face all year. So he needed to learn. That's fine. But if you're going to get whipped on that side, that means you got the chip on that side. Well, now you can't cover up for Kelamente. Don't think that Minnesota didn't know that. Now what are you going to do? The game's over. Now tell me what you're going to re-sign Harris? You're going to try to put Big Hill back through the process and get him back on developmental? Or who are you going to cut now? You know, whatever moron thought this through, and I believe that that would be the general manager and the coach, they deserve Fs. Absolute Fs in what they did. What the hell were they thinking? Now, while I'm on the subject of who's playing, I know that a lot of you love Adrian Peterson. Got news for you. Hello, New York Giants, you need a running back? Call us up. Because he doesn't fit what we need. Where was the running game yesterday? The day before, whatever the hell the game was. Where was the running game? Oh, well, Tomas, you know, it's hard to run when you don't have holes. Now, that's true. But as much as I'm not a Mark Ingram fan, I bet you if Mark Ingram played just about all the downs, would have had more running yards. I'm willing to bet you that at some point he would have found some way to get around to the outside. I didn't see that from Peterson. What did he run? Tell me his totals. 9, 1, 2, 1. And we all know running backs need to be in the game. They get better as the game goes along. You're not going to rotate Peterson and Ingram. And is Peterson a backup running back? No. So again, what moron thought this through? Now, while we're talking about that, let's talk about wide receivers. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. One a day had his chance and dropped the damn ball. That experiment has to end. He's got to go. I don't know who you've got on there. Whoever else you got on the developmental squad has got to be better than Coleman. I'm sorry. Maybe he can make it with the Rams like Toon did and then get cut and never see him again. That's your boy, right? Maybe Toon's still available. I don't know. This guy was pathetic. And then what's the game plan? You got 11, 19, 13. You got the three guys. Put them in there. What did Minnesota do? Rub route. Hell, let's run some rub routes. What's so hard about that? No, we don't do any of that stuff. We have the worst game plan you can imagine. You got the worst people on the field. I am just so unbelievably ticked off. Tomas. I guess I have to wrap up my rant. Tomas. My ears are red. My BP's got to be high.
Listen, Tomas, well done. I liked it. I think you nailed it.
You know, just to expand on the Peterson thing, even worse than Peterson's performance was the fact that the Saints, you know, look, first play of the game, you got Peterson in the backfield, you got 8 or 9 guys in the box.
Yeah.
Why was that not a design play action pass right from the get-go, right? Should have been. First play of the game, you should have faked that handoff and came out throwing.
Yep.
There were at least two more times later in the game where we had a 2nd and 1, the perfect down, to play action and go for a pass, you know, on short yardage on 2nd down. And then we had a 2nd and 3, I believe. Another situation. Same thing. Peterson didn't have a good performance, and Peterson doesn't really fit on his team. That said, this coaching staff had no idea what to do and what not to do with Peterson in that game yesterday.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
All right. When we come back in hour number 2, we're going to do the bad and ugly, so we don't want to miss that. We also have Brian Bieniemy, who's going to do the NFC South review. And then our pick'ems a little bit later. So it's ESPN 97.7, the BS and Beer podcast crew. We'll be right back. Y'all don't go anywhere.